Welcome to the Fear and Greed Daily Interview. I'm Sean Aylmer. Yesterday's wages data was one of the most watched releases in a long time, the missing piece in the discussion over inflation and interest rates, or so we thought. Wages grew at 0.7% over the March quarter, lower than most economists expected, and 2.4% over the year. So what's it mean now for interest rates, for the election campaign, and for the cost of living? We've spoken to Jo Masters many times before. She's now Chief Economist at Barrenjoey. Jo, welcome back to Fear and Greed.
Thanks for having me on.
What did you make of the Bureau of Statistics figures yesterday? How did it compare with what you were expecting?
So we were at consensus with the expectation of a rise of 0.8% in the quarter. The number was obviously a little bit below that, and in annual terms at 2.4%. It doesn't change the outlook for me, though. This data is for the March quarter, and we know since then that the labour market is continuing to tighten. The leading indicators still point to jobs growth. The RBA's business liaison is clearly telling them that wage growth is accelerating. You can see it in the average wage rises in the WPI data. So from my perspective, it's a question of timing. And, you know, I think for the RBA, they'd already started to raise rates. So in a way, they'd sort of hurtled past this data and we're looking forward, not backwards.
Okay. One thing that the Reserve Bank has said over the past couple of years is that it wanted wage growth to be sustainably in that 3-4% range. This doesn't quite get them there, though, does it?
No, it's still a fair way short, actually, at 2.4% annually. I mean, that rule of thumb of we need wage growth at 3.5% for inflation to be at 2.5% is a long-running rule of thumb. I think what we're seeing at the moment is two factors that mean we've got a bit of a mismatch. One is a large portion of the inflation is being driven by things outside of our control, so particularly, you know, the Ukraine crisis, lockdown in China, supply disruptions, that obviously not related to domestic wage pressures. The other thing is that it's just highlighted how rigid our wage setting structure is in Australia and just how long it takes for a tight labour market to flow through to broad-based wage pressures across the economy. And also, of course, the wage price index is quite a narrow measure of wages. It's a wage rate measure. And we are seeing faster income growth when we look at the national accounts measure. We won't get that for March for another couple of weeks.
Okay. So what you're saying, though, is that you expect that this number will rise over coming quarters then as things catch up effectively, wages catch up.
That's right. I think we can be very confident that we're going to see wage growth accelerate. So we've got an increase in the annual reset of the minimum wage, which flows through to awards. That typically comes out towards the end of June and is effective 1 July. We also know that in the private sector, a lot of wages are reset in the new financial year. So again, effective from the third quarter. And we would expect all of those to be reflecting the tightness in the labour market that we can see in job vacancy data, job ads, and of course, some of the business surveys and also the business liaison from the RBA.
Are there some sectors that are doing better than others, or is it very sort of broad-based?
We're not seeing too much divergence across sectors. Of the 18 industries that we split the economy into, 8 out of 18 had wage growth that was over 2.5% annually. Only one had wage growth above 3%. That does move around quite a bit quarter to quarter, particularly for those industries that use awards or EBAs.
Okay. What was the one, by the way?
It was rental, hiring and real estate services. So last quarter, in the December quarter, there was also only one, and that was accommodation and food services. So that rebound in that sector coming out of the Delta lockdowns.
Stay with me, Joe. We'll be back in a minute. My guest this morning is Jo Masters, Chief Economist at Barrenjoey. Okay, can we bring on to real wages? The Reserve Bank has said that we won't see an increase in real wages for a little while yet. Can you just explain what real wages are? And this kind of goes to the heart of the political debate about whether or not Anthony Albanese's suggestion that you should have a wage increase of 5.1% is sensible or not. I don't want to get into the politics of it, but just explain real wages and why it's going to take so long before people in real terms actually can spend or buy more for their dollar.
Right. So real wages effectively are the annual growth in wages minus the annual growth in the prices in the economy or inflation. So it's wages less inflation. And the reason that we look at that is it's a measure of your purchasing power. So when you take home your pay packet, how much of the goods and services that you need and you want to buy can you actually purchase? And when real wage growth is negative or real wages are going backwards, that means your purchasing power is going backwards. And actually, that means that your standard of living is falling, which is obviously something we don't want in our economy. Now, as you said, we do think that real wage growth is going to remain negative for some time, for a year or so, partly because inflation is so high because of some of these, I hate to say transitory impacts, but, you know, transitory in economics can be 2 years. So things like, you know, global oil prices, we do expect they will come down over time, not imminently, but it does mean for the next year, inflation is going to remain really high. And as we've discussed, wage growth just takes a long time in Australia to pick up. And so it's going to remain a very challenging period for Australian households.
Okay. And this obviously flows through to that whole cost of living debate within the election campaign.
It is central to that debate. And, you know, we've seen real periods of real wages falling before, but it's extreme at the moment. You know, the sorts of declines we've got when we've got headline inflation running at 5.1% are pretty significant. And Australian households are feeling it. We can see that in the Consumer Confidence Survey.
Okay, so this is all happening before the election, obviously on Saturday. Once we get beyond the election, whoever wins, what type of economy are they going to be taking over if it's Labor or continuing on if it's the coalition? What are the big challenges they'll be facing for the rest of the year?
Yeah, there's actually numerous challenges, even though economic growth is quite solid and we've had a robust recovery from the pandemic crisis. So some of the issues that governments are going to be facing are cyclical. So things like how do we make sure that consumption growth, which is the largest part of GDP spending, remains strong in the face of high inflation and rising interest rates and falling house prices and the like. So elongating that economic recovery, making sure that the private sector has the conditions it needs to pick up the baton of growth and that we're not continuing to rely on public spending. So that's one. Then there's societal issues around cost of living and purchasing power, the distribution of wage growth that we see. We also know that low-income families are still doing it really tough. And of course, the big one when we talk about societal issues and equity, of course, is around housing affordability. And then there's other structural issues when we think about the aging population, about energy transition and decarbonisation, around the future of work, around immigration, for example. So there's actually a lot of really big issues that we haven't done much about in the last couple of years because of the pandemic. Mm. Now we need to make sure that we turn our attention to these big issues.
And this is all going to have to happen in a rising interest rate environment.
That's exactly right. Today's data, even though it was a bit below expectations, doesn't change the trajectory for interest rates. We clearly no longer need crisis settings and interest rates are on the march higher. We're expecting a series of rate hikes and we expect that by the end of this year or early 2023, mortgage interest payments as a percent of disposable income will be at levels that historically have started to slow consumption growth.
Okay, where do you think growth will be in 12 months' time? So, I mean, we hear lots in the US people already predicting a recession because the Federal Reserve will have to shift so quickly to tamper down inflation. Is there any fears of that in Australia or are you reasonably confident in 12 months, 2 years, we'll be okay?
I think we'll be okay if you define that as not having a recession.
Yeah.
So I guess a couple of things there. The US economy actually has quite a lot, relatively large number of recessions. It's a more dynamic, flexible, market-driven economy. We also have some protection because of commodity prices, which remain very, very high. And that gives us a national income boost. So that makes it harder to get a recession here in Australia. I think growth will slow and we might be getting growth back at that sort of 2-2.5% level that we saw pre-crisis. And I guess that's a challenge. We don't want to come out of this crisis and just go back to what we had before. We want to build back, you know, better, more resilient, yeah, improving living standards, improving some of those equity issues.
Jo, thank you for talking to Fear and Greed.
It's been my pleasure.
That was Joe Masters, Chief Economist at Barrenjoey. This is the Fear and Greed Daily Interview. Join us every morning for the full episode of Fear and Greed, Australia's most popular business podcast. I'm Sean Aylmer. Enjoy your day.